This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
No Wagner family DNA was found at a crime scene. Does it matter to this case?
I would say that they absolutely need some sort of physical evidence. It clearly isn't happening with the DNA.
It's the shoe prints and it's the ballistics. That's what they've got.
Jurors' eyes were glued to the latest witness to testify in George Wagner IV's murder trial.
This is The Piketon Massacre, Return to Pike County. Season 4, Episode 9, Connecting the Dots. I'm Courtney Armstrong, a television producer at KT Studios with Stephanie Leidecker and Jeff Shane. It's important to note that George Wagner has pleaded not guilty and has maintained he did not kill anyone. His father, Billy Wagner, whose trial is upcoming, has also pleaded not guilty to all charges. Here's Stephanie and Jeff speaking about some of the revelations from the autopsy results. They mentioned Dr. Karen Luman, who you may remember is the forensic pathologist who performed all 8 autopsies and testified at the trial.
How were 3 people at Dana Roden's home shot in their sleep? I just am trying to wrap my head around how the perpetrators were able to walk around the home shooting one person at a time without waking anyone else up.
And also one thing that I thought was interesting about Luman's testimony was how she determined that some of the shots fired that night were what she called at intermediate range, which is essentially anywhere between 3 inches and 3 feet from someone, and then others weren't. She said that's based on something called stippling, or actual evidence of damage to the victim based on how close the muzzle of the gun was to the victim itself. Some victims had that and were seemingly shot at close range, but some didn't. So the choreographing of all of that seems so complicated. Who was where, when?
This morning, lead prosecutor Angie Canepa begins by addressing exactly this question. Back on the stand is Dr. Karen Luman speaking about Hannah Hazel Gilley's injuries.
Can you tell us where was gunshot wound number 1 located?
On the diagram, number 1 is on the far left. It looks like it's on the right forehead. It's a little more on the side of the forehead.
Doctor, can you tell us what did you determine the distance to be of that gunshot wound?
That is intermediate.
And again, that intermediate is somewhere, not contact or loose contact, but somewhere less than 3 feet, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Shots 2, 3, and 4 were indeterminate, while shot 5 was again close range, or what she calls intermediate.
When you conducted your examination of Hannah Roden, how many gunshot wounds did you observe her to have?
2.
And can you tell us if you determined a distance?
Yes.
And what was that?
It was indeterminate.
Canepa has a chart where she keeps track of the myriad of gunshots, some at a distance, some close, all while the victims were asleep. Then she brings up the idea of how this might be affected by the use of a silencer.
And Dr. Lohman, I believe you testified to this before, but do you know or do you have an opinion if there was a silencer used on a weapon, could that possibly impact your distance determinations?
It possibly could, yes.
Okay.
The defense has no choice but to address the introduction of a possible use of a silencer as well.
On the last, one of the last points the prosecutor made, the silencer, how would that impact your determination of distance?
A silencer in general would fit around or in the area of the muzzle, and it could capture some of the soot or stippling that normally would have landed on clothes or the body. It may capture that.
So if I understand what you're saying, the distance could actually be closer than what you have observed.
Yes.
This is a turning point in the trial. It's the first of many loose threads that the prosecution finally begins to weave together for a jury, a public, and a media weary after weeks of detail-specific testimony. So far, the prosecution has worked in a meticulous, linear fashion, laying out the grisly narrative that they want the jury to consider. Here's Law and Crime reporter Anjanette Levy.
I've covered a lot of trials in my career, a lot of criminal cases, but I've never seen one presented in this fashion in court where it's all chronological or goes in chronological order of the investigation. You know, it was a 2.5-year investigation between the time of the homicides and the arrests. Sometimes it just feels like we're bouncing around a lot. You know, it'll be up to the jury to determine whether or not that was a good strategy. I've often wondered, are they confused by this?
Here's James Pilcher, longtime investigative reporter in Cincinnati, now with Local 12.
When it comes to physical evidence, it's the shoe prints and it's the ballistics. That's what they've got.
And this is exactly how the prosecution begins to connect the dots and tighten the noose on George and the Wagner family.
Today, prosecutors present some of the most crucial evidence yet in the trial of George Wagner IV in the Pike County Massacre. Local 12's James Pilcher reports on key footprints that were found at the scene.
Susan Elliott, a shoe print specialist for the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation at the time of the murders, declined to be on camera with her testimony. But she matched footprints found at the first crime scene with an actual shoe style and size.
Jurors' eyes were glued to the latest witness to testify in George Wagner IV's murder trial as she opened large pizza boxes. Inside, pieces of flooring cut from one of the Pike County crime scenes, the trailer on Union Hill Road where Chris Roden Sr. and Gary Roden were murdered. She said these impressions that have since been enhanced were not in the crime lab's shoe database.
You may recall from last season the testimony of shoe print expert William Bodziak during pretrial motions. Bodziak, who worked on the O.J. Simpson case, stated that investigators finally found the model shoe that made the prints at Walmart. It was Susan Elliott who made the actual discovery. James Pilcher.
She's the one who found it all. She was the one that knew to be looking out for the Walmart shoes. Because she remembered, you know, our shoe print expert found these shoes at Walmart, so we need to be looking for anything from Walmart.
Here is testimony from Brian Scheiderer, head BCI investigator who provided testimony the same day about how they used that information.
As a result of learning that you were looking for a size 11 shoe that you believed belonged to whoever committed these murders, or at least one of the individuals, what did you guys do in response to that information?
It was decided that we would contact the Walmarts within a 50-mile radius of Pike County and ask for all their records for transactions involving that shoe dated back to January 1st of 2016.
Okay. And in addition to getting the records of any transactions, did you also get a request and receive video surveillance that corresponded with those?
Yes.
As we know from previous episodes, this is how the recorded video of Angela buying the same model shoes was found. Subsequently, they then seized a receipt from the purchase. Here's Jeff speaking with Mike Allen.
And your expertise as a lawyer, how big is this piece of evidence?
It's really big because you've got the receipt for purchasing them. They match up in size. And then, of course, you've got the bloody footprint in one of the trailers. So it's very strong evidence. And I think that's something that the jury's going to be thinking about.
And do you think, you know, without DNA evidence, this shoe print is maybe the closest thing we have? How much weight can the prosecution put on it?
Oh, I think they can put a lot of weight on it. I mean, the odds of it being some kind of coincidence are just in the millions. So I think they'll put a lot of weight on it. It's real strong evidence for the state.
What's the defense's counter argument to this? How do they defend the shoe print?
I guess you would have to argue that it's a pretty popular brand of shoe at Walmart. You'd have to do your homework in it. I don't know any other way to do that because, like I said, it's such strong evidence. You'd have to argue that, well, you know, it is what it is, but they're in a real tough position on that one. I don't know how they're going to do it. You're just going to have to argue coincidence, and I don't think the jury's going to buy that.
Here's forensic death investigator Joseph Scott Morgan.
Well, for me, shoe prints tell everything. The shoe prints are indicative of purpose. They're indicative of thought and care being taken when it comes to planning. Because from where did these shoe prints originate? Well, they originated from a pair of shoes that were purchased for the sole purpose of following through with this horrible plan. We've already got Angela Wagner actually stating that she purchased these shoes. And for them to have the utility to go out, for them to commit these crimes.
Next, Andrew Wilson turns to ballistics.
Mr. White, where do you work?
I work at the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, also known as BCI, in London, Ohio.
We have been able to gather from preliminary motions and prosecution filings that there is a connection, they assert, between shell casings found at least one of the crime scenes and weapons linked back to the Wagner family. So we do expect that this ballistics expert will prove very important to this case.
White is a striking presence on the stand. He wears a broad-shouldered black three-piece suit and sports a wide, flat beard that ends midway down his chest.
When Matt White comes to work in London, Ohio at BCI, what does he do every day?
My primary duties involve the examination of firearms to determine their operability, as well as looking at fired ammunition components, be it a fired cartridge case or a fired bullet. I can perform microscopic examinations to determine if they have been fired in or from a particular firearm. And if not, I could generate a potential list of firearms that could have been fired from.
I want to take you back to April of 2016. April 2016, at some point, were you asked to examine some evidence that had been collected as part of an investigation of an 8-person homicide in Pike County?
Yes, I was.
And can you tell the jury, how were you initially brought into this case or asked to assist?
My supervisors notified us that there was a larger case that was coming into the laboratory, and I just happened to be the person selected to work the case at the time.
White goes on to testify that he identified two types of bullets at Chris Sr.'s home. 30 caliber bullets from a high-profiled rifle and 40 caliber bullets from an unknown firearm. Crime scene 2, the home of Frankie Roden and Hannah Hazel Gilley, was a different story.
Were several of the items that you examined from this scene shell casings that had been recovered by the crime scene unit?
Yes, they were. Yes, this is one fired 22 long rifle cartridge case.
The fact that that cartridge has the name long rifle, does that mean that it has to be or can only be fired out of a rifle?
No, certainly not. A 20 long rifle cartridge is generic. It can be fired in a pistol, a revolver, a rifle, any firearm that's designed to actually fire that specific cartridge.
Were you also asked to examine items that came from scene 3?
Yes, I was.
Was one of the items that you were asked to look at
with respect to scene three as shell casing, that was our cartridge casing that was recovered from under a crib in this residence.
Yes, that's correct. This is a fired 22 long rifle cartridge case, Remington brand, with a rectangular wedge-shaped firing pin impression.
That item had the same general class characteristics as the shell casings that you just testified to from scene two.
Yes, that's correct.
And again, are those consistent with the other projectiles recovered at autopsy of the other victims of scene three and the other victims of scene two?
Yes, they are.
Stephanie and Jeff.
So we have two types of bullets found at the scene. We have 30 caliber high-powered rifle bullets and 40 caliber bullets found in Chris Sr.'s home. And we know from Fortner's testimony last week that the 30 calibers were sprayed from outside the trailer and the 40s were found to have gone through the floor and into the dirt below the home. So they were shot inside. Now here's where it gets confusing, because at Frankie and Dana Roden's homes, they found 22 caliber bullets.
Does that mean that whoever did this, whether it's one person or many people, did they do that by switching out guns mid-murder scene? Or does that mean they almost divided and conquered and that different family members were using different guns and that they were committing these murders simultaneously?
They moved on to crime scene four, Kenneth Roden's house. If you recall, there was only one shot fired.
State's exhibit, D-282. You've already opened her up. Do you recognize the markings on that package?
Yes, laboratory number, item number, and my initials.
And were you able to examine that item and reach any conclusion with respect to brand and caliber associated with that?
Yes, I was able to conclude this is a fired 40 Smith & Wesson cartridge case, Hornady brand.
Were you asked to make some comparisons in this case to determine whether or not certain pieces of evidence had been fired by the same weapon at each scene?
Yes, I was.
Were you able to reach a conclusion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty as to whether or not the 40 caliber shell casing at scene one was fired from the same firearm that fired the 40 caliber shell casing at scene four?
Yes, based on my microscopic comparison, examining the two fired 40 Smith & Wesson cartridge cases, I was able to conclude the two fired 40 Smith & Wesson cartridge cases had been fired in the same firearm.
Media outlets jumped on the breaking news.
Today, prosecutors turned to the bullets used in all eight murders. The casings included a 40 caliber shell found on Chris Sr.'s kitchen floor. He also showed the bullets retrieved from the victims' bodies. His testimony came after another BCI agent walked through the crime scene where police found Chris Sr.'s brother, Kenneth Roden, shot in his bed. Agents also found a 40 caliber shell in his bed.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The next day, the prosecution picks up once again with testimony from Matthew White. Andrew Wilson is intent on further closing the loop on the physical ballistic evidence.
In addition to that information that you passed on to the investigators, did you do further work or further analysis to try to determine what kind of 22 or what kind of 40 was involved in these homicides?
Yes, oftentimes if I'm encountered evidence and there's no firearm submitted, I can look at certain features of the fired cartridge cases or the fired bullets to give a possible list of firearms that could have fired them to aid investigators in what they should be looking for.
In the case of the 22, he pinpoints the probable gun used.
I was able to examine other examples of test fires taken with a Walther Colt 1911 22 pistols. I was able to physically examine a couple different of the specific guns. I was able to disassemble them, look at them further, examine the firing pin itself, take additional test fires for comparison. In addition to that, I corresponded with a design engineer at Walther in Germany about the shape, the orientation of the firing pin impression. He was able to look at some stock examples at the factory of firearms that they were producing, and he agreed and concurred that the shape of the firing pin impression and the orientation of it was consistent with the firearms that they produced, the Walther Colt 1911 22 pistols.
In the case of the 40 caliber, he pulls up an enlargement of the bullet casing, pointing out marks around the base of it.
You can see the firing pin impression itself. It's elliptical. It is not circular in shape. Those two features are very common with Glock firearms.
So based on those observations, again, did you begin to feel that a Glock firearm or a 40 cal Glock was responsible for shooting the shell casings recovered from scene one and scene four?
Yes, Glock is by far the most common firearm encountered that has those two characteristics.
Next, the prosecution asks a key question of White.
But at that time, when you were doing your initial work in this case, did you have a firearm that had been collected as evidence to compare from the scene or from a suspect?
No, I did not.
To understand the recovery of the Wagner's firearms, Brian Scheiderer is asked to step back and give the jury a big picture on how they began their investigation. Remember, at the time, BCI did not yet know the Wagners were involved.
Back to that very first day, you responded to the sheriff's office, you interviewed some people. Then what happened? Then what did you do?
Things were still very confusing at that time. There was a lot of information coming in, as you can expect. The media was on scene at the time, so this had went statewide as well as national. So eventually we went back to the Piketon Police Department and we tried to organize things. Like, we knew this was going to be in for the, we were going to be in for the long haul on this. We're trying to say, here's what we had at the crime scenes, here's what the families told us, and here's tips that are coming in. That's all happening extremely fast. Like, it's overwhelming, it overloads you. It's coming in so fast. We also established a tip system because we had so many tips coming in. Ultimately, I believe we had 1,143 tips that came in through the end of the investigation to the arrest, and all 1,143 of those tips were investigated and cleared.
And so how was that tip system established?
They would mark the tip, it would get assigned to an agent, and the agent would go out, investigate the tip,
and respond back and report his or her findings.
At some point, they received a tip about the Wagner's collection of firearms. Here's Jeff speaking with Mike Allen.
Does law enforcement have to verify who sent the tip, or does it not matter if it checks out?
You mean when the tip comes in, try to figure out who it is?
Yeah, like if they got a tip that, oh, you should search this property because there might be weapons there. If that tip checks out, does it matter who called it in? In theory, wouldn't they want to track that person down because that's a good witness, or they don't care?
They probably would have to have more than that. You know, they get a tip like that, they'd have to develop it somewhat. You know, just some Tom, Dick, or Harry calling and saying, hey, you know, I think there's a bunch of evidence and weapons down there at Joe Jones's house. The cops will have to have more than that.
You just used the term develop the tip. I've never heard that. What does that mean?
You know, perhaps try to find out whatever this witness said, maybe go to the place, check it out, maybe talk to other people. I just think that would be very weak to go to a judge and ask for a search warrant just based on a completely anonymous tip. They would have to bolster that somehow.
It was enough to get warrants to search the Wagner's property.
We also talked about you seeking court orders for various phone records and Facebook records and any other records.
Correct.
Okay. And can you tell us kind of at what point did that start to happen and what kinds of information were you receiving that led you to turn your attention to them?
It takes a long time to examine those things. You know, many of those files are extremely large, several thousand pages.
It is these electronic records that lead BCI to Jake Wagner via social media posts about custody of his and Hannah Mae Roden's young child.
When we first made contact with Jake Wagner, he had indicated that everything was okay, that he had a good relationship with Hannah, and there was no issues involving their child that they shared together. So that was a little suspicious. Warranted a little further investigation, obviously, but we were also conducting interviews of friends and family who were reporting a similar, you know, situation. So you kind of have conflicting stories, right? You have one side that's saying everything's okay, and then you have records and family members and friends that are saying that's not true. So that kind of, you know, you need to investigate that. That's important. That's a lead. That's something that needs to be ran down. And so that's what we started to do.
Did you also look at Jake's phone, and did you find anything of interest on that phone?
Yes.
And can you tell us what you found?
And again, these were expedited reviews of these records. It wasn't like we had days to go through these. We literally downloaded these phones and started going through them quickly. But one of the most interesting things that we found on Jake's phone at that time was under the notes section, and it was a list of guns owned by the Wagners or purported to be. So basically there's a list with each Wagner's name and then a list of guns underneath each of those names.
At this point, the defense objects and everyone approaches Judge Deering upon request. They consult briefly and Deering rules testimony can continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. Agent Scheider, I'm going to show you what is going to be marked as State's Exhibit HH2. Okay, and can you tell us, first of all, Agent Scheider, what are we looking at?
This is an extraction report, or a snippet of an extraction report related to Jake's iPhone that we took in May of 17. And this was found in the notes section of the phone, and it is a list of firearms and associated Wagner names.
Go through those and tell us which guns are listed belonging to who, and what date was that list created?
Pursuant to the report, I'm having trouble seeing that. February 11th, 2015.
Okay.
Thank you.
And go ahead and tell us what guns are listed there.
Starting at the top, the list starts with George's, indicating possession, and it says Glock 17, 9mm, Beretta 96, 40 caliber, Taurus revolver 357, Remington 514, 22, Ruger M77 270, Ruger M77 22 Hornet, Remington Woodmaster 30-06, Ruger M77 22, CZ-22 and SKS-7.62x39.
And who else is listed on that list?
Moms, dads, and Jakes.
Okay. That is that the extent of the list that was extracted from the phone belonging to Jake Wagner?
Yes.
That you seized pursuant to a search warrant?
Yes.
Let's stop here for another break.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Here's Jeff speaking with Mike Allen.
He pretty much figured out what the firearms were through the obviously the help of the coroner, what the rounds showed, what kind of weapon they were fired from. And, you know, they got a real break on Jake's phone when they got the search warrant for that and found on the notes portion just about every gun that the family had, and it matched up. Again, that was just good old-fashioned police work. Not a lot of technology in that.
What do you make of Jake Wagner writing all this stuff down?
Stupid. It was just stupid. Why would you do that? You know, in many ways, I think he covered his tracks, or at least tried to cover his tracks pretty well, but it just stupid. I guess he just wanted to keep track of what everybody had. And my goodness, you talk about an arsenal. They had just about any kind of weapon you can think of.
Owning a lot of guns, though, does not necessarily make you guilty of murder.
It definitely does not make you guilty of murder, but it's a piece of the puzzle, especially when two of the weapons that he had on that list were the type of weapons that were used to commit these murders. When you can tie a weapon or weapons, you know, to a homicide, that's big. I mean, it's good evidence. The jury wants to hear that, so it's strong evidence.
More on that next time. We're going to take a short break. The Piketon Massacre returns with all new episodes starting Wednesday, January 4th. With Angela and Jake Wagner taking the stand, there's much more to uncover. And the biggest bombshells are yet to come.
Is the defense ready?
Yes.
You wish to call a witness at this time, then?
Yes, Your Honor. We call George Wagner the Fourth.
For more information on the case and relevant photos, follow us on Instagram at KT_studios. The Piketon Massacre is produced by Stephanie Lidecker, Jeff Shane, Scott DeGraw, Andrew Arnau, Gabriel Castillo, and me, Courtney Armstrong. Editing and sound design by Jeff Twa. Music by Jared Aston. The Piketon Massacre is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Please welcome our Pike County Dogwood Festival Queen.
Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all together as a community.
911. I think my brother-in-law's dead. There's blood all over the house.
Who could have killed 8 family members in one night?
I lost my best friend, and I'll never be the same because of that day.
4 crime scenes, no DNA, no witnesses.
The killer left those children laying in their mother's blood.
The word that comes to mind is overkill.
Who was the mastermind?
I'm telling you, if they frame us, I'm not sitting in prison.
One thing I learned, the smaller the town, the bigger the secrets.
Be sure to watch our upcoming documentary, The Pike County Murders: A Family Massacre, premiering on NBC Universal's Oxygen Network and also streaming on Peacock this Thanksgiving Day weekend, November 24th and November 25th. Please check your local listings, and our hearts are with the Rodins and the Gilley families.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com. You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.